All right, Marty Lurie here on KNBR 680. Pitching today for the Giants, it's Ryan Vogelsong. Sitting here talking about you, and I did the show the other day, talked about what a tough guy you are and always up front and talking about it. He's a real Western Pennsylvania guy. Well, you know, I got at least a half a dozen emails saying, no, Eastern, you know, Pennsylvania. Where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Chester County. I went to Octorara High School. The town that my address from my house was Coatesville. I had a Coatesville address, but I didn't go to Coatesville High School, which is kind of the big high school in that area. I went to Octorara High School. And Octorara is in Acland, Pennsylvania, which is also in Chester County. And now the house I live in is in Downingtown. So people ask me where I live. I say Westchester. Westchester is kind of the biggest little town around there.
So not Western Pennsylvania.
No, not Western Pennsylvania. It is definitely Eastern Pennsylvania. It probably takes me 40 minutes from my house to get to downtown Philly.
Wow. All right. Ryan Vogelsong with us now. Going to college, interesting area where you went to college, the Amish. And I tell you, watching the movie Witness, as you're talking about, made me think of that. Tell us about where that was and what life was like there. Pretty interesting.
So I went to Kutztown University, and if people don't know where Kutztown is, it's almost exactly halfway between Allentown, Pennsylvania, and Reading, Pennsylvania. And Reading is where the AA Reading Phillies are, and then Allentown is where the AAA Phillies are, the Iron Pigs.
Oh, okay.
So Kutztown is almost halfway in between. Small town, probably, you know, four or five stoplights. Other than the university, there's a small high school there in Kutztown. Other than the university, the only other thing in Kutztown is they're known for is the Dutch Festival, the Kutztown Dutch Festival. And, it was not your normal, what you would think of as college, pretty small town. You know, our baseball field was actually kind of backed up to a cornfield. Sunday mornings, it wasn't very abnormal to hear the Amish buggies going up and down the street. So, yeah, it was a little bit different than what most people probably experience with college life. But, that was where my path took me after high school. And it was great for me because I got to play both ways. I got to pitch and play third base every day. So I think that alone helped me really develop my arm strength, for one, but helped me develop as a player, being able to do both things.
Boy, what an interesting story. Of course, the movie Witness I love. It's one of my favorite, Harrison Ford, and very dramatic movie, and it sounds almost like the area that you went to college in.
Yeah, actually, they filmed Witness in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, so the house that I grew up in Coatesville is actually closer to Lancaster than where I went to college. So the house I grew up in is about 20 minutes from Lancaster, and that's, for us and people around there, that is the true Amish country. There's not a day that you don't drive around there and you see Amish buggies all over the place, especially on Sunday when they're going to church. And very, very normal life for us, seeing Amish buggies, and people would come see us and they'd be like, "What the heck is that?" You know, so you have to explain the whole Amish culture. And very, very cool culture, though. Very, very different.
Wait, were the Amish baseball fans at all?
You know, they all of them, all the schoolhouses that you see, the one-room schoolhouses, they all had a baseball field outside of them. Yeah, so I'm assuming that they are probably baseball fans.
Okay, all right. Well, maybe they'll call into KNBR. We'll see if the show is right.
Depends on how far the phone on the telephone pole is away from the house,
right.
You know. So
that's right.
They might have to call from there.
That's right, no phones. All right, very good, Ryan Vogelsong with us. So how did the scouts find you in such a little place?
So when I was a sophomore, we had a junior pitcher named Andy Bauscher, and he was from Boyertown, and Boyertown really is the biggest, like, baseball area in that area. They have great players come out of there all the time. So he was a junior, I was a sophomore. We pitched on the same day, and Andy was a left-handed pitcher that threw 90-93, big overhand curveball, and he got drafted by the Pirates in 97 in the sixth round. So when guys came to see him, we played doubleheaders. You know, they'd stick around and see me, and that's kind of how I got noticed.
Oh, very good. Very good story. I always wonder how the scouts could find someone like that. I was reading a lot this week about preparation and how the game has changed, the preparation of a pitcher, a hitter. There's so much available. I'm just curious, how much of it do you use? I mean, you could look up every swing Paul Goldschmidt has taken in his whole career against a slider. There's that much information out there. there. How do you use it?
Well, first of all, there is so much that you can't overload. And I've done that a few times this year where I'm actually on the mound and I have so much information I kind of don't know which direction to go. And that's kind of where you have to lean on the catcher to kind of balance you back in or zone you back in. But I use a lot. I watch a lot of video of the hitters. One, I want to see swings. I try to find guys that have comparable stuff to me, not necessarily velocity, but just repertoire. So guys I watch a lot are Zach Greinke. I watch Josh Beckett a lot. Brandon McCarthy. Guys that pitch similar to the way I do. So I see how they're setting hitters up and what they're getting guys out with. And then something that Tim Hudson introduced me to this year is you can actually go in and break down what guys' averages are on pitches in every zone. And so you can go fastball away, what's he hitting on that? And, you know, you can, like you said, you can do it back as far as you want. So you can see, you know, on fastballs down and away, 100 at-bats, what's his average? And that's something that I didn't really dive too much into because I felt like just watching the swings and watching the guys throw gave me a pretty good game plan. But Tim introduced me to that, and I've kind of mixed the two together now. So I borderline on trying not to get too much, but getting enough where I feel like I'm creating a good game plan for myself for that day.
Well, it's amazing, and that's the stuff I was reading about. So you're a good preparer. Of course, you have the preparation the day before, day after. You're someone that gets intense about it. When do you do this stuff, and how do you remember this stuff on the mound?
Well, I don't do it early in the week. So I pitched Saturday. Obviously, Sunday, we play the Rockies. You know, then we come to Chicago here, and Arizona's next. So I'll probably start doing it day three, start looking at the first half of the order, and I write everything down.
Okay.
And then the day before, I'll finish up the rest of who I think I'll face in the starting lineup, and then knock out the guys that I think might come off the bench and hit off me lefties. And I just write it down. I write down a quick little thing about each guy, and then basically all I do the next, you know, couple hours to the game is I'll go do something, I'll come back, pick up that sheet of paper, read it, look at the lineup, and try and memorize what I see in each guy. And then I sit down with Buster and I go, hey, this is what I got. This is what we've done to him in the past. I know this is what you like to do with this guy, but this is what I'm seeing. So then he and I kind of set up our game plan based on that information. And it's a lot of work, but it pays off. It really does. And the one thing about the stuff that I learned from Huddy is it gives you a sense of stability, really, when you go, all right, I've seen this guy's numbers on fastballs down and away. And even though fastball down and away, he might be looking for it, I know he's not hitting that good against it. So it just gives you that little extra, you know, conviction to make that pitch. If you make that pitch down the way, you're going to get the guy out.
Yeah.
And it's been pretty good. And even the numbers aren't good and you make that pitch, usually the hits aren't hard. It's just a flip or a ground ball through the hole. So that tells you that this stuff is right. And, I mean, he and I talk and we always say the numbers don't lie. They are what they are, you know. So it's a lot of work in between, but I love it. I love it. I love looking at the numbers and going, oh, this sticks out or that sticks out. And it's crazy how when you get into it, one thing always seems to stick out on a guy, you know. And after that, it's just, you know, being able to make that pitch.
Yeah. Boy, quite interesting. I'm sure the fans are loving this, hearing this. Now, do you go home and talk to Nicole about this? Does she help you set up hitters?
No, I mean, we'll talk about stuff after the game, you know. And, you know, sometimes the numbers don't match up good to you. You know, you're like, well, these guys don't hit sliders good, but I'm not really a slider guy, you know. So there's definitely lineups that you look at and you go, man, I don't match up really good with these guys, but I got to make pitches. And so sometimes I'd be like, yeah, tomorrow, you know, might be a tough day. I mean, you kind of know going in that, hey, I'm going to have to be on my game tomorrow to get these guys out. But after the game, you know, we'll talk and she'll ask, hey, what were you trying to do on this guy or that guy? And I'll tell them, you know, I'll tell her, hey, well, this is what the number said and this is what I was trying to do. It just didn't work out. You know, or, you know, whatever. She's really good about trying to stay in touch with what's going on during the game, and so we have something to talk about afterwards.
She's terrific. Now, believe me, if I tweet something, she's on it very, very easily. Hey, the other part of it is the shift, and you have to pitch to the shift from time to time. I imagine that that's something new.
Well, you know, the thing about Wotus and Kral and Hixey, who's been playing mostly second, but even AD, they read the game really well. And those shifts are made based on what they think that we're going to do. And the game plan's talked about with them, and they go, okay, if we know Avogie's going to pitch this guy away for the most part, we can shift around. But, you know, but I have to say, hey, you know, tell them to pay attention, because I'm going to have to obviously rip one inside here every once in a while, and we don't want to be shifted on that. So, and obviously you can't move in the at-bat, because if you move, then they see you move. Well, now I know he's coming in. So it's I like the shift. It saved me a bunch of hits this year and a bunch of runs. So I like it, and I think that combination of Wotus and Kral and Hixey, they do a very good job of reading it in the game, too.
Yeah, it's a new game. Boy, a pleasure to visit with you. And I always learn a lot of pitching from you, and I learned a lot of Amish baseball today as well. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you. There's always, anytime you want to talk Amish, you know, feel free to ask me.
I just think of the scene. I do. When the guys come up and they put the ice cream cone in the guy's face, and, you know, Harrison Ford beats him up, and it's my cousin from Ohio.
Yeah, what about Kingpin? You're forgetting about Kingpin. There's some Amish scenes in Kingpin, too, you know, the bowling. So, it's an interesting place to live, and interesting college life, that's for sure.
Did you ever interact with them and, you know, talk to people like on a Sunday or Saturday or something?
I've never really had the opportunity to really interact with them. I mean, here and there, you know, run into them or at the grocery store or whatever, and just a hi and cordial. They're very nice people, but, you know, they're in their own, you know, their own culture and their own society, and they like to be left alone, you know. So, but they don't bother anybody. We don't bother them, and life goes on.
Boy, what a great story, Ryan. Thanks so much. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
More coming up on KNBR 680, the sports leader.